D3. Number 5B.
The science of man. A new science of man is called all over the world. You can read any book. Everyone says, actually what is missing is that we don't know what man is. We have not the science of man. Because only then when we integrate everything into one principle, then we arrive at one man. Well, that is what is shown here with principle love. Principle says, I am the divine principle, the only principle, but the principle which integrates the whole universe. It's an integrating principle here. Where we begin to realize the very thing, you see, that in order to be a Christian Science practitioner who has to solve medical problems, biological problems, anatomical problems, financial problems, business problems, sociological problems, physiological problems, psychological problems, see, who has to solve, so to say, problems out of every science, we see that he doesn't have to learn these sciences. But that if he has the one principle love, that he has the integrated principle from which he can solve any problem. For the Christian sciences, there does not exist 1,000 different sciences. Just one science of all the sciences. And so with the same principle, we solve a business problem or a psychological problem. With the same principle, we solve a financial problem just as we do a medical problem. It's always the same principle. But that principle is that principle, love, and love seems to stand here always for integration. For integration, integration, integration. The great word which you hear all over the place today, because we come in the whole world towards that demand of integration. Integration of nations, integration of political systems, integration of economical systems, integration of business, integration of scientific societies. All is integration, coming together. Management science, you can put in here in management science. It's all that integration of everything into one. And this is what we spiritually see here as that principle, self-operative. Self-operative principle in every field. So, for the practice, we can see that we have to know the one science, that integral science, called principle love, an integral science which really is operative by itself. Naturally, this science demonstrates itself. When it comes to science, then science proves itself. You know how it started yesterday? From the infinite one comes one principle, and its infinite idea, and its rules and laws, the signs of it, and their demonstration. Now we come to that point where we begin to realize that we never know what we should demonstrate humanly. That the practitioner does not know, the real practitioner in divine science, does not know humanly what he should demonstrate. Because the divine principle has a plan, is love. The divine principle, love, has its own plan, and therefore its own sense of demonstration. And the greatness of the practitioner lies in this, that he doesn't try to yield to the patient's demand to work out things he likes it to be worked out. But the practitioner in divine science just stands there as a principle, impersonal principle, which knows that the higher plan, a more encompassing, more universal plan, has to be worked out than what human conceptions could figure out, could dream. And actually, you can take my word, actually, You know, it's terrific what happens when, for ourselves or for the patient, but mostly for ourselves, the moment we get into more and more into that habit of not trying to demonstrate anything, but of letting principle demonstrate its plane, where we have no human conception, that then things happen which we have never dreamt of, that things happen before we are aware that they have happened, that things come along and fit into the plane and adapt themselves or come forth or spring forth before we have ever thought about it. So that actually at this point it is the other way around, that we retrospectively begin to recognize the demonstrations of principles. Whereas usually a practitioner has a prospect, you say prospective and you look ahead, a prospective sense and says, here I have a patient, he suffers of this and this, and the prospect is that he should get well in this and this way. One has a prospective sense of demonstration, what to achieve. It's horrible if one has to practice under the pressure to achieve something, to achieve a demonstration, to achieve a healing. It's horrible. At the time it gets depressing, and it's not right. Let the principle of being be love. Let the principle of being have its plane and work out its plane. And that plane surpasses every material conception. And the standpoint of the practitioner here is that he has the courage and the bigness not to yield to the patient's demands and wishes, but to stick to that principle and let principle work out something much bigger, no matter if the patient agrees with it or doesn't agree, if he accepts it or not accepts it, if he's glad about it or rejects it, no matter what it is. We are not here to please the patient. We are here to demonstrate principle for principle's sake. Then we really have accepted principle's own working. And then, when we do that, we have really that sense within ourselves that what we do is really worthwhile. We get an enormous valuation of what we do spiritually. Because then we feel responsible to principle and not to people. We feel we are working in God's plane and not in the plane of people. And that's so much more satisfying. That's really then when we are pioneers in this world. And a Christian Scientist who is not a pioneer isn't really worth his salt. That's the pith of a Christian Scientist. That he is the most forward thinker, because he goes out from principle, and therefore he is leading the universe. Because he is the one who has a divine principle, and that divine principle is always a plane, and that plane has a teleological aim, not a theological, a teleological aim, has an aim that is always unfolding, is always rising higher and higher and higher. Therefore, that principle is a pioneering principle. And our consciousness is really that where we feel that we are being used by that principle to be pioneering in this line of unfoldment. So, here, you know, there is a terrific statement in Mrs. Eddy's work, I think it is in miscellaneous writing, where she says, in divine science, we are speaking about divine science, in divine science, God is one and all. have seen divine signs in such oneness and allness. God is one and all, and governing himself. It's one of the very few passages which I know in Mrs. Eddy's whole writings where she doesn't speak about God governing men, God governing the universe, God governing the body, God governing anything. Where she says, God governing himself, see, that's divine science, the standpoint of divine science. Where we see that there is nothing outside, in the oneness of being, God cannot govern anything else but himself, because there is only one being. So, that our highest sense of government really is to see that God governs himself. And when we see how God governs himself, then we know that he governs the universe at the outcome. So she says, and that in divine science, God is one and all, and governing himself, he governs the universe. See, then she goes right in the same sentence from divine science to absolute Christian science and shows the relationship of God to the universe, God to idea. But first she shows that what we have to see is God governing himself. How much have we been thinking about how God governs himself? We always were interested in how he governs us. See? And therefore our whole concept of Christian science was narrow, was small, was personal, was limited, and then we expected that it will do something for the world. It can't. Only when consciousness is big, it can do something for the world. And so our highest sense of government is really to see how God governs himself. I don't feel that Christian scientists should be engaged in world politics. They should be interested in world politics, should be interested in what's going on, should know what's going on. But to take part in one party and fight like a devil against the other party is tearing the nation and the universe apart. That's my sense of it. That the highest sense of government is to see how God governs himself. And when we see that how God governs himself, then we know that that has its effect on the human plane, and that it governs the nation, governs the family, governs the world, governs the development of the world, development of science, and everything. I think that that is the higher calling for politics, the politics of God. How does God govern himself? And governing himself, he governs the universe. So that in that way we are not tearing the nation and the world apart into two. The purpose of a Christian scientist is to unify. To unify, not in a human way, not in a material way, not in a personal way, but in a spiritual way. To see the oneness of him. That's divine science. How on earth does God govern himself? For 2 or 3 years, that's my practice. I can sit for hours back and see that this is practice. To contemplate how God governs himself. How can he govern himself? He can only govern himself by being that what he is. And we have seen in divine science that he is Word, Christ, Christianity, and science. Therefore, the whole government is that I begin to realize, I take every synonymous term, that mind manifests itself out of itself. That mind manifests itself out of itself and through itself, through mind. And as mind, and four minds. And so I have my four phases of where Christ fits Jiangxin science, to see that there is just one self-organizing, self-governing circuit going on in being. That mind governs itself out of itself, never out of another thought. And therefore always governs through itself, through the whole of mind, never through anything less than the whole of mind. And governs itself always as itself, as the whole of mind, never as just one idea, one situation, one solution of a situation, but always as the whole of mind, as mind. And always for the purpose of what? For no ulterior motive, but just for one motive, namely to glorify mind, for the glory of mind. And so I have these four out of itself, through itself, as itself, and for itself. And you can take every synonymous term and think about that for hours. What does it mean? I can't take it, it takes too long, but you take spirit and you see that the whole government of God's universe, or God's own government of himself, is spirit, unfolding itself out of itself, never out of matter, through itself, never through a treatment of any practitioner, as itself, as the whole of spirit, never just as a tiny little bit of unfoldment, and always for itself, always for the development of spirit, and never for the development of any man or business or anything. Then you keep the purity of being intact. Then no human motive, no human material desire enters in and wants to be fulfilled. Then consciousness is really moving in the oneness, or as the Bible says, we live and move and have our being in God. And so you can take soul and see that soul identifies itself out of itself, through itself, as itself, and for itself. Principle governing itself out of itself, through itself, as itself, as itself. Never demonstrates, principle never demonstrates itself as human government, always as principle's government. We cannot bury the divine principle in a human situation. All that we can do is to see that principle governs itself out of itself, through itself, and as itself, as itself, and for itself, for principle, never for a party, never for what we think right in politics, never, but always for principle purpose. And so we can go to life and see that life eternalizes itself out of itself, but through itself, and only as itself, because life demonstrates life, capitalized, as itself, and for itself. Or truth demonstrates itself out of itself, through itself, as itself, and for itself. Love fulfilling everything out of itself, through itself, as itself, to itself. It's just such a simple law of divine science. But the moment we know those synonymous terms clear and clear, really, it keeps you busy for a few years. Mm-hmm. And you can see that within this treatment, within this way of contemplating the one being, because you go out from the synonymous term, never leave the synonymous term, never see any outcome smaller than the synonymous term, and for no other purpose but for the glorification of the synonymous term, you feel that you are really giving the most encompassing, most all-embracing sense of treatment, because within the one, all is included anyway. I always tell a little story, and some of you may have heard it already, so forgive me, but it's such a wonderful story. Now, I have a very wonderful mother. Everyone has a wonderful mother. Everyone feels that one has the most wonderful mother. So I feel that way too. You forgive me. And she knew Christian Science when I was quite a boy, quite a child, and she never taught me Christian Science. Never. She never asked me to go to Christian Science Sunday school. I could go, and I went a few times, and then I was bored, and then I said I'd rather like to run around in the woods. So she said, all right, you do it. But when I was in trouble, I would go to mother, as everybody does, every child does. And I can remember only about 3 or 4 lessons she gave me until I was grown up. That's not very much for a Christian Scientist, to give only 3 or 4 lessons to the children. And one was this. And she said, you know, the Bible tells a little story about Saul, and that the father of Saul had lost some asses, and that he sent Saul and the servants to seek for the asses which had been lost, and they didn't find it. And so when they didn't find it, little Saul said, now look, let's go back. And the servant said, no, let's go to the prophet and ask him if he knows. So he was pointing to the prophet, to a spiritual seer, to a spiritual consciousness. And when they came to Samuel, to the prophet, Samuel wasn't at all interested about those asses and finding those asses. He wasn't at all interested to make a demonstration to find those little asses. What he said, that's right, I was just waiting for you. I make you king over Israel. That's the answer. That's our answer. So mother said to me, never seek small things. Always take the whole. Think universally. See, that's what is shown here. Instead of trying to demonstrate here something, and there something, and there something. Here in divine science, the consciousness is to take the whole of the country, to be the king. If I am the king of Israel, everything in that Israel belongs to me. The little asses are included. No matter if I find them or not find them, they are found. The moment I have a more encompassing sense of being, all the smallness of it is included and doesn't worry me anymore. Here, we can see it. It's that great all-encompassing law where we see we go out from the synonymous term, never leave those synonymous terms, even if we see the whole calculus of mind manifesting itself out of mind, because mind is its own cause, mind manifesting itself through mind, because God works through the whole of mind, not only through ideas of mind, and manifesting itself as mind, not just as some experiences. You know, Mrs. Eddy says that mind dwells in the realm of mind. Mind dwells in the realm of mind, that's mind, manifesting itself as mind, and always, as she says, for the glory of mind. Then we never leave the synonymous term. The synonymous term stands for the infinite, and so our consciousness is living and moving in the infinite. And all the little details are included. They fall into place. That's why I said, in the measure as we begin to have such consciousness of divine science, we always will find that demonstrations, if we want to use that word, that demonstrations are made before we are aware that they are made, and that they are much bigger than we were aware at the beginning. That they show after a while to be of greatest importance, of a great magnitude, because then we did give principle a chance to be principle and therefore operate in the plane of love, principle love. We make here a break.